Hello, and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse. We are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. Thanks so much for joining us today on the journey. Roger, in about 18, 19, 20 minutes or so, the last words on this podcast episode will be the same words that our listeners hear every Friday. The best is yet to come. Why do we end podcast episodes like that?
Well, we believe it, number one. We really believe that, just as we also believe Sunday's the best day of the week. Those are things we say a lot, and we really believe it. We've been doing a series here in September based on Jeremiah 8, verse 20, where it says, harvest is past, summer is ended, and we are not saved. And we've talked about the context of that passage. We talked about the past. We talked about the present. Now we're looking forward, looking future. And when we look at the passage, summer's over, summer's ended, there's lots of things that you may kind of wish, well, I wish summer was longer. I wish summer was 6 months long. And there's lots of things I still would like to do, but we know fall's coming, the days are getting shorter, there's a coolness in the air, and we can't be doing everything. And around here, it gets gray and stays gray for about 4 months, and a lot of people get the blues and get gloomy, and they just kind of dread wintertime. But now, the passage is talking spiritually, as we are talking spiritually. And when we think about the best is yet to come, that is a concept I think it's true to the scriptures. There's a lot of folks who believe that the best days are behind them, and they long for those good old days. But when we look at what the Bible says is coming down the road, indeed, the best is yet to come.
So when you hear the best in that phrase, let me just put you on the spot and ask you, what is the best?
Well, the best is going to be what, but I think two or three fold. Number one, this world's going to be different. We're not talking about living longer here on this earth. We're not talking about, you know, scientists are going to find some cure of all these diseases, and you and I will get to live to be like Adam and others to be 900 years. You know, I don't want to live to be 900 years on this planet. I don't want that. The best is being with God. The best is the eternal. And that's the concept we're talking about. We're talking about heaven. And that's what's going to be. So this world's going to be different. The future world, when we think about leaving this planet and being in the presence of God, it's going to be different. We're not going to be hindered with all the things we are. Weather doesn't change in heaven. It changes down here. We got our summer clothes, we got our fall clothes, we got our winter clothes. We got snow shovels and we got lawnmowers. You're not going to need that stuff in heaven. We're hindered because as we get older, things hurt and we need medicine and we need implants and we need to have parts replaced and we need hearing aids and eyeglasses and false teeth and all these parts we need to get functional anymore. You don't need that in heaven. You just don't need that. And so those things will not be a hindrance to us. There's not going to be anything to fear when we're in heaven. We'll be with God. Here we can fear getting old. We can fear sickness. We can fear violence. We can fear what this culture is doing to Christians. That won't be in heaven. That'll be so different from that. There's no bad news here. There's not going to be any temptation in heaven. There's not going to be any Satan in heaven. There's not going to be any doing bad in heaven. I think sometimes people have in the back of their mind, what if I stub my toe up in heaven and I say a bad word and he's going to kick me out? That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. We got to have confidence that's not going to happen. And so what makes it the best is that the world God has presented for us, it's going to be a beautiful world. John 14, he says, in my Father's house, I have many mansions for you. And he talks about where I am, there you will be. That's the concept we see of what's coming.
So the book, perhaps more than any other book, that prepares us for what is yet to come is probably the book in all of the Bible that intimidates a lot of disciples of Jesus. We're talking about the book of Revelation. And there is so much revealed for us. We know that this can be a confusing book. Roger, in fact, you and I have spent a considerable number of podcast episodes just looking at the last book of the Bible, that it certainly ought not to be something that is overlooked, neglected by disciples. When I think of the way that this last book of the Bible can shape our understanding, I know you want to read to us in a moment from Revelation 21 and 22. Let's make a pit stop there, or before there, in Revelation chapter 6. I think of where John describes one of these great seals being opened, and he says in verse 9, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. And so let's just pause there for a moment. John is given this incredible vision of people who have lost their lives for the faith. Life has not turned out the way that they would thought, they thought that it would. So is this mantra that we say so often, the best is yet to come, is that true for these people? That's a question that was very much hanging in the first century mind. What about those who have died and the Lord hasn't come back yet? The Lord has not set all things right. So what about those who die, especially for their faith? And John says they were crying out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long? How long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer. And he goes on from there, but in a very real sense, are they not being told the best is yet to come?
And when you turn the page to chapter 7, notice how similar this is. After these things, okay, after what you just read about in chapter 6, I look and behold a great multitude which no one could count. And we pause there. All through the book of Revelation, we read numbers. We read about seven churches, seven bowls of wrath, 1,000-year reign, 100. There's all kinds of numbers, 144,000. But here the crowd is so big that no one could count. From every nation, all tribes and peoples and tongues standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. That's how you just ended it in chapter 6. They were given white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cry out with a loud voice, and salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, those who are clothed in white robes, who are they? Where have they come from? I said to him, My Lord, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tabernacle over them. They will hunger no longer, nor thirst any more, nor will the sun beat on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God shall wipe every tear from their eyes. And in that powerful, powerful section, what he's showing us here is that scene in heaven. And why is it the best yet to come? Because we are going to be surrounded with the people of God of all ages. Can you imagine standing there, and right beside you is Apollos? Right over there is Peter. Here's Paul. Here's Timothy. Here's Titus. Here is people you've worshiped with in your congregation. Here's people you've heard about from the last generation. Here's a bunch of people you never even got to meet. They lived and died before you, but they loved Jesus Christ. And what we don't find there is litter, graffiti, crime, violence, hatred, prejudice. All that stuff is of the earth. That stuff is not there.
Roger, I have a feeling you're like me. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but when I heard that last verse that you read, I thought about my own self as a father. I don't know how many times. In fact, our girls have laughed at times. How often, as they were growing up, they would say, well, can we do this? Can we go there? When will we? Can I? You fill in the blanks. And they figured out pretty quickly that my standard response to a lot of that was, we'll see. You ever remember saying that to your kids? We'll see. You know, Dad, can we do this? We'll see. Dad, can I go? And I would respond with, we'll see. But what you read for us in Revelation 7, verse 17, is not we'll see. It is the Lamb will be their shepherd. He will guide them. God will wipe away every tear. And so it's not we're hoping for this. It's not we're wishing upon a star for this. It's not the Bible ending on, well, we'll see how all of this turned out. It's no, God will do these things, which means we can say with confidence, the best is yet to come.
And I think another reason why we say that phrase is because when we think about the eternal nature of heaven, it never ends. Everything in this life ends. You go to a vacation, sooner or later it ends. Every movie has an ending. Every book has a last page. Even the Bible has a last page. Everything we know here ends. Our pets have an end to their life. Even our physical presence will have an end here sometime. But when you think about eternity, being in God's home forever, it's not like being on vacation and I get to go through a castle or a mansion. I've done that several times. It's really cool to do those things. But you're walking through, you don't get to stay. You just get to see the pretties, and that's about it. This is not a weekend getaway. This is it. This is the end of your destination. There is no end to this. What a glorious, glorious hope that puts before us.
All right. So I know you wanted to read us a few verses from Revelation 21 or Revelation 22. We've talked about the best is yet to come. So when you think, based on what God has revealed, what is coming, what comes to your mind?
Let's read this. Revelation 21, the first four verses. And again, as we remember the book of Revelation, it's much like a children's picture book. Through John, who's seen these things, he's writing what he sees. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eye. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And right there in verse 4, every one of those things that he says is going to go away are our world today. We call that life. Somebody cried today? Yes. Somebody mourned today? Yes. Somebody in pain today? Yes. Somebody died today? Yes. But there's a world we're going to when those things will not exist.
So if we tie this back to our key Jeremiah passage that kicked off this whole Friday series. Summer is past and we are not saved. It certainly seems appropriate here in the last episode to make sure that the dots are connected. If the best is yet to come and I am not saved, well, I'm missing the point altogether. You and I have reflected earlier this month, of course, on the passing of Brother D. Bowman, who is so well known for saying at the conclusion of years worth of sermons, if you miss heaven, you've just missed all there is. And that's in many ways what we've been trying to get across in this series. It really revolves around choice. Revelation 21, Revelation 22 pictures this beautiful destination, but I'm struck by some of the last words, not only of the book, but of the Bible itself. Revelation 22, verse 14, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and they may enter the city by the gates. The best is yet to come, but my robes need to be washed.
Absolutely. Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 16, what does it profit if you gain the whole world and forfeit or lose your soul? And there's that image of the rich man Lazarus, the rich man faring sumptuously every day, wearing purple, eating well, living in a gated community, yet he died and he missed heaven. There's the rich farmer from the Gospel of Luke who's going to tear down his barns and build larger barns. All these plans, all these goals, but he was not rich toward God. And so over and over and over, what the Bible's driving at is you can get the most out of this life, but what good is that if you miss heaven? And so heaven is for those who walk with Jesus, who've clothed themselves with Christ, who've made the choice, I want to put God first in my life. The best is yet to come for them.
And for the person who truly believes that, John clearly did, how does he bring it all to a close? He says, amen, come, Lord Jesus. For the person who has washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb provided by God, for the person who truly believes the best is yet to come, isn't that the most profound prayer I could possibly offer? Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. I'm ready. I want that to come. I believe with all of my heart that the best is not behind me. The best is not around me in the present, the best is yet to come.
And that will take away the fear that death has, that takes away all the paranoia of our current times, and just let's get there, Jesus. Let's just get there. And the sooner the better, because then everything will be. I'll be where I'm supposed to be, and that's home with God.
Summer is past. The summer of 2021 literally is past. We appreciate you in this last month of summer walking through this series with us. But we hope that that statement from Jeremiah, more than 2,500 years old, has made you think about what really matters. And it may be that you have very real questions, even revolving around what we've talked about. Roger and I are not simply talking into this microphone and broadcasting it out into the world and unconcerned with where it lands. It may be that those questions are on your mind right here and right now, and we would love it if you would reach out to us. There is a simple contact form at charlestownroad.org. And if we could help you in getting to know better God's will for your life, that is why we do what we do. Roger, thanks for joining me today and in this series. Thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope that it's helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you are heaven bound. And we mean it when we say the best is yet to come.